You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Wednesday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show.
Start with a little introduction. How's that? Is that okay?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
I'm gonna do it. She's a writer, producer, a television showrunner, is a screenwriter. She's known for creating New Girl, the rom-com.
You good?
Are you okay?
I'm nervous. So good. Guys, it takes me like at least only 14 times to read something through to get it out properly. Okay. Guys, she's a writer, a producer, television showrunner, and as a screenwriter, she's known for No Strings Attached, ABC sitcom Single Parents, and Bless This Mess. And she was nominated for an Emmy for writing and producing the critically acclaimed Hulu drama, The Dropout. She's also an accomplished playwright. And guys, she created New Girl.
New Girl.
Please welcome the one, the only, also the hottest writer I know, Liz Merriweather.
Liz.
You obviously don't know many writers. I just want to be clear, because this is audio, that I am not hot.
You are very hot. You are very hot.
Very hot.
What's up? Welcome to our show.
I'm so excited to be here. This is amazing. I can't believe you guys are doing this.
I mean, this is how much we love the show and love each other, that we're all back still hanging out every week. That's what you did. That's what you did.
We miss you though, Liz. We miss you.
I know. I miss you.
So
guys,
nice
too.
To see your
and
face.
It's really nice to be here, like talking to you guys about the show, because it's like, It's such a crazy experience of being like so close to so many people, and then like it just ending, and you're like having to kind of move on with your life.
We love it, it's true. It's like I feel like the only thing you can kind of compare it to is like going to like middle and high school with like the same group of people that you get really close to, and all of a sudden you graduate, and you're like, wait, I don't get to see those people every day.
It's so strange. It's very strange, and also I think all of us were like, you know, in our like 20s or early 30s, and then it was just like a real like period of time in our lives.
Well, I was only 19, so it was kind of weird.
We were babies. We were just babies.
Children.
Well, we got you. We got you here. And we're very excited about it. We've been talking about it for a long time. I know fans have been talking about it for a long time. But, you know, and this won't be a traditional interview episode. We're not going to interview you. You know, you've answered
enough questions.
I might ask you a question here or there, but this won't be that typical interview episode of Welcome to Our Show. Instead, we're going to actually, you know, break down an episode with you. It's the finale of season one. We're just going to talk about it a little bit, maybe share some thoughts that we have on this episode, and just go through it a little bit and play some games, some weird games, which, you know, which we do so well here. I'm going to start by just giving a little quick recap of the episode for folks out there who maybe hadn't seen it in a while. So here we go. On this week's episode, everyone is in love, but they're too afraid to say it. So Jess, she grows desperate to convince Nick to stay at the loft as his move-out day is slowly approaching. So some of what Jess must, what she said must have sunk in with Nick, obviously, because he starts to freak out. He starts to go a little crazy on his way to Caroline's apartment, and he ends up driving the guys to the desert. Now, for a second, it seems like Nick has calmed down a little bit, but when Winston mentions taking him to Caroline's, Nick tosses his keys off of a cliff. What a stupid move. Now, Jess arrives to save the day, obviously, but seeing Nick in a hurry to get to Caroline causes Jess to also, quote unquote, throw her keys into the wilderness as well. Also a stupid move. Now then, Schmidt tells Jess he's breaking up with Cece because he doesn't think that he can make her happy, which he probably cannot. Now she begins to view her actions as selfish and encourages Nick to follow his heart, which he does right back to the loft. Now let's get back to the podcast and let's dive right on in. Do you remember this, guys?
Yeah.
Do you remember all this? I remember it because I just watched
Liz,
it.
This was your story,
right?
Yeah,
I just watched it.
You came up with the story for this first season finale.
Hearing the recap just tells you like how convoluted the story is. There were so many like holes in this story. Like, not to mention like where we shot it, you could see cars going by. And so it's like clearly like they could have gotten to civilization like very easily. Also, anybody could have found anyone's keys like within an hour. You know, like it's not like there's not like they're not like throwing them into like the ocean or anything. Yeah, it's like one of those episodes that's, I mean, the finale, it's like the first season is so exciting, but we were also just all so wiped out. We were so tired that you could kind of like see that in the story breaking. But I still love it so much, and I have like a really like deep love of it because I feel like it was, you know, it was just such an accomplishment that first season. I just remember being like, I can't believe that, you know, we're doing a finale like this show.
Where did that initial idea come from? Like, I saw that this story was by you, right? You are the one who came up with this season finale. And so where did that idea come from for Nick to just keep driving and end up in the desert?
First of all, the credits aren't always exactly accurate in terms of like who does what. And I don't honestly remember. I think it was probably... I don't remember like who came up with like the specifics of the story. I remember being really excited about him having all of his stuff from his room and just being able to like set up his room in the desert and like that. And I really loved the visual of that and just kind of like all of you guys like sitting out in the desert with like his stuff and, you know, like bundled up with his clothes. And I also loved the the mixtape and the like music and the kind of like that those crazy old songs and
kind of, like, I love that yeah. frame of the mixtape is like one of my favorite things about this episode is that like the mixtape kind of like moves the story along. Like it bookends it, and then, you know, like it also makes like those moments memorable. Like each moment like kind of has a song associated with it, and then they're like kind of, you know, a lot of them are from the 90s, and then, you know, there's obviously the AC/DC song like at the very end, but it's a fun way to kind of like get that like the kind of like nice accompaniment to like the emotional arc of the episode.
Yeah, I really love that part too. I love that part of the episode much more than the details of the plot, which are not amazing. But like I think it's like a really, I think, classic New Girl story in that, like I said, there's like problems with the structure, but and I love that sort of not a lot happens. Like I think like what the story feels like, it's more of a almost a vibe, you know, where you're just like, okay, it's a bunch of people in the desert kind of freaking out about moving forward, and so they're just stuck there, and there's a literal moving van, you know. So I thought that was a kind of good feeling to
it's like a one act
that
play
season. yeah
mm-hmm. I really like that thing, about it.
The other thing I say is like I know you said in the recap, which like I said was a difficult to follow, but but you were saying in the recap that everyone was in love, but I actually think that what was tricky about this episode was that Jess couldn't realize that she was wanting Nick to stay because she was in love with him. Like that wasn't happening yet, you know? So I think there was a little bit of, and Nick couldn't also realize that it all had to be subtext between them, but they had to kind of make these big decisions for some reason or another, you know? So I think like
Winston
was
afraid of the dark. Yes. Everyone was alone. Winston was just roaming around.
I was going to say that. I was like, I feel like you brought me on this podcast to like formally apologize to you.
Let's start from the beginning, Liz.
For your story in this episode.
Where is Winston at emotionally when he comes up the hill with pants tied around his head? That's what I want to know.
He's in love with an animal he probably just spent the night
never,
with.
We definitely never revisited your fear of the dark on the show. Like, that never resurfaced.
Did we need to?
He conquered it. That's what happened out there. He conquered it.
Yeah. You know, one of the best things about the episode, when I rewatched it, I realized, and it's kind of one of those like art blurring into life and vice versa things, is that we all were so tired. It was a long season and we did it, and we were all literally in the desert. It was like, I feel like over an hour drive, and we had to all be there all day. It was dusty and hot. And you just see moments, you genuinely see moments of Jake instead of Nick. Like when he's doing breakfast at Tiffany's, his character is supposed to be obsessed with that song, and he doesn't know the words. And it's just Jake being like, I'm just going to bop, bop, bop my way through it and just commit. And that's just Jake. And you see Max when he's trying to hold Jake back.
When he kisses Lamar. Him on the mouth at the end.
Oh, at the end, yeah.
Max Greenfield.
This is in the desert. You see Max break out of the fight with the biggest smile on his face that he was just hugging Jake like that. And that's just pure Max. That was not a Schmidt moment. And it was just nice to see like all of these I don't know, parts of ourselves just kind of bleed through
tired.
Into the show.
We were all very tired.
No, and it worked. I feel like it was the beginning of that, like,
yes,
the fusing of it was like the character with the actor. You know, I feel like by the end of season one, it was like, I don't know about you guys, but I was like shocked that it was that big of a hit, and I was exhausted, and it felt like both exciting and like the end of a marathon. Like I was running on fumes at that point. And I feel like everyone was. And so, you know, it's like at that point, I think we were all like a little bit giddy too. Like it was kind of like, oh my God, this is over for
us. Yeah.
That's right. It was
like,
the last
we like, have a break and like,
It's a great like analogy because I don't know if anybody has ever been to like the end of a marathon, like when you see people running off.
I've done a few. Yeah.
It is insane because people like literally like just start crying, mm-hmm. collapse, like are euphoric. There's so many different emotions like at the end of like a very, very long run. Like I did feel like at the end, like we had so many emotions. It was very satisfying. It was very like exciting to finish it. But we also like did 24 episodes. Like I'd never done even like, I mean, I think I'd done like a few episodes of TV, but I'd never done anything but movies before this. I hadn't done 24 episodes of TV is a lot.
I could tell you for me that this mean, is, I think it's because of the exhaustion was where I felt like this episode definitely helped me as far as character development. Prior to this episode, I know I talk about it all the time, how in my head I was, was just trying to keep up with everyone and trying to figure out who this character was. And this episode, probably because of the exhaustion, you know, there was a lot of freedom for me to just say a bunch of silly shit. And and it worked. And I thought, man, this is, so that's what everyone has been doing on this show. Everyone is just being silly. And
like, I don't have to be really good at basketball.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. It's fine that I got small fingers. It's fine. I think that the exhaustion for sure definitely helped me, and the storyline obviously did. Silly shit, I'm afraid of the dark and then there were wolves, and I think that type of stuff definitely helps prepare you for the future of the you know, a seven season run for sure.
I want to ask a question to everybody. It's like, take a survey. Has anybody spent meaningful time with a coyote like before this experience?
I've seen them down a road and I nod respectfully and I back away.
Yeah, they run through my neighborhood, but that's about it.
Did you ever spend meaningful time with a coyote before this episode?
Oh my God, I was just going to say, like, I remember, like, that is what I remember, like, so clearly was like, because we were shooting nights. But, mm-hmm. but like the night was like, we were shooting night at the end of the week, I think that, because we would mm-hmm. always schedule the nights for the end of the week. And that was really when I was just like, I was living in like a dream state. And then I was like, I think it was like one of the last things we shot. And there was, it was just the amount of like everyone has to be still and quiet. And like standing up against the rock or something, and then like this like cage with a coyote came like walked down like past all of the crew members who were like standing quietly, and I was
like when Prince was there.
I was like no comment, but like yeah, I think like I was like so terrified. It was just like, oh my God, what is this coyote gonna do? And then like they open the cage and it's like this little guy. It's like this little cute like coyote that looks like really cute and well fed and like well taken care of and like all this stuff. And then I was like, oh my God, we wrote this whole scene where like Nick and Jess are so afraid of this coyote that they're frozen for like a really long time together, like stuck there. And then you would like cut over to the coyote and it was like the cutest little like, animal. And it was like, nothing about this episode makes any sense, like story wise. Like, they obviously would have just like walked away from that coyote. Like, what was that coyote going to do to them? Like, that was so crazy. And I also remember Biz, like, I don't remember the details, but like, we couldn't get the coyote to like do anything we needed it to do. And we definitely couldn't get the coyote to look scary at all. And so it was just, and we were running out of time. And like, you know, so it's just like putting a camera on this like poor, sweet, sweet little guy and like, trying to get him to like do anything that was at all menacing or like as if he were wanting to eat anybody or hungry. I don't know.
His name was Comanche. Do you remember this? His name was Comanche. The coyote's name is Comanche.
That's problematic.
And
great.
Agree. But he was, they were like, this was a lot of acting. Like, there was a lot of acting because the coyote was scared of us. Like, they were like, he's terrified of you. So we, like, most of our side, there was, like, no coyote, obviously. The coyote wasn't doing off-camera acting for us. But the coyote, like, whenever we were, like, all in a shot together, we basically couldn't move because the coyote would just literally run away. Because coyotes are scared. Coyotes are scared of humans.
What I like the most about this coyote is that he kept hissing. It's like a little
That's mic, probably so added afterwards.
Did he do his own ADR?
That was added, yeah. Lamorne. That was added.
I know. That's probably you, Lamorne. They probably like, could you give us some few hisses? We just need them for the episode. Don't ask questions.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you brought that up, Lamorne. I like totally forgot that we added that because we couldn't, because it wasn't scary, like at all. Yeah. Oh my God. I totally forgot that.
You may as well have added "muahahaha" to his voice because it still wasn't scary.
The coyote. There was a lot of editing. There was a lot of acting. There was a lot of editing that had to be done to like really lift the coyote up.
I totally had forgotten the like that we added those hisses, and I'm so glad that you brought it up because I was like that was the main issue, was like it was not scary at all, and so we like needed to like put little like, I don't know, like as if that isn't scary. You're just like, what animal is that? Because coyotes don't. So it's like maybe scary because you're like, is that an actually a coyote? The other thing I remember, I feel like I actually watched the episode on television for some reason, which I never really had. I usually would watch the episodes online. But like they on television, they had put, it's like so old, like you actually watch it on television when it was airing, but like they put like a hashtag meep meep like over
over let's the make scene. Meep they meep were, go like, viral
like, hashtag meep
it's
meep
it's trending.
I remember it's just like I was like such a like artiste, and I was like, they've ruined the scene. They've
meep meep. Oh my goodness.
One of my favorite things about that scene is that Nick is hiding behind Jess the entire scene, like really aggressively holding you, Zoe, and trying to small his body behind you.
No, he wasn't hiding. He was trying to calm her down. He was trying to get her to stop saying meep meep. He was trying to protect her. Okay.
She's using Jess as a human shield.
That's what I would have done.
Do you guys remember shooting the dancing?
Yes, yes. I remember. You know, it's actually funny because watching it, I'm like, everybody's got some moves. There's some good moves. Did Max do a backflip onto the bed?
He did a backflip.
He looked like he was made out of paper. I was like, how did he do that?
Yeah, I did not dance. Because my character wouldn't do that in that moment because I was all about character. And so I just banged on the wall.
I was watching the dancing and all I could think was, wow, that looks exhausting. And cathartic, maybe, just to like go totally insane and get to do whatever you want feels good, but also exhausting.
Yeah.
I feel like season one was the only time, like Jake just got like more, like less and less enthusiastic about doing any dance scenes, like as the show went on. And I remember like this season, he like was like up for anything, like did the dance.
My question.
Get it in while you can.
Yeah, exactly.
We talked about, and then we'll go to a break, but we talked about a little bit about the music. Couple questions. The budget must have been so high having, you know, unless these songs are just super cheap. The music budget.
I don't think so.
The music budget, AC/DC, How Bizarre, Breakfast at Tiffany's. That's insane.
I know. We were like, I think because the finale as a whole wasn't that expensive, you know, like I think it was like, okay, we're like going to this desert. I mean, I don't remember the details, thank God. But, you know, and I can't imagine that Comanche, the coyote, was that expensive. And
the moving truck wasn't that expensive.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know. But I also know that we'd, like, saved money for the finale and that, you know, at that point, like we were a big hit and they were kind of like, okay, like, what do you, you know, like, do you want to, I guess, like, being a big hit was like, we'll pay for how bizarre. So,
you know, you made it when, so Liz,
but we had an amazing, music supervisor.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Who, like, yeah, we did.
That, so, yeah.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish. Yeah, I can drive. My character was a getaway driver. Yeah! I'm retired from life, you know that. His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman. Tell me about this driver job. We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Liz.
Yeah.
Liz. So when we were talking about creating this podcast, it was really like spurred on, one, because we missed each other, but two, because we still all get approached, I'm sure you do, all the time by people who have these pretty involved questions usually about the show, and we do our best to answer them, but we are not the all-knowing like you are. So we've been asking listeners to send in their questions.
I very luckily don't get approached very much because nobody knows what I look like. So that's awesome. Thank you for taking the approach.
They will now because this is going online.
So we have had people sending in their questions, voice notes, emails throughout our season here on Welcome to Our Show, and saving them up for you. So
here are a couple
for you to solve the mysteries of New Girl with. Here we go.
Hi, all. My name is Lauren, and I'm a huge New Girl fan, as I'm sure many of your other listeners are. It's definitely a comfort show for me, especially as I enter my 20s and mid-20s. But my question pertains to guest stars on the show. I've read on a couple places online that there were some guest stars that requested to be part of New Girl, whether it was for a quick episode or a recurring storyline. And I'm just wondering if that's true. And if it is true, which guest stars were ones that requested to be on the show rather than the crew proactively going out and seeking them to be guest stars? Thanks.
Ooh.
Well, I think Hannah, you know the answer to this. So maybe
there was one big one that knocked on your door. That's for sure.
Prince. It came to me first, guys. I got the weirdest email of all time. Like, what was it? Season 3 that we had him on? Like, season 2, I got this email like, "Hello, I am manager for legendary artist Prince." And I'm like, this is somebody is pranking me. Like, this can't be real. And so I called my agent and I was like, "Can you see if this is really Prince's manager?" And he checked it out and he was like, "It appears to actually be his manager." At which point I was like, "Okay."
But the email was written in a ransom note.
It was
cut out magazine.
It was a ransom note, and they said, "I have Prince. I'm not letting him go until he gets to be on New Girl."
I like that the manager felt the need to put like legendary artist Prince.
Yeah, I was like, I know who he is,
as opposed to
that old guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Purple Rain Prince.
Was there anyone else, Liz, that came to you and said they'd love to be part of the show?
I mean, that's honestly, I guess after that one, everything else kind of faded away. No, I don't remember that, but I remember I remember people being really excited to hear from us. I don't remember like other people.
Did Taylor actively... Swift want to be on? I feel like Taylor Swift liked the show, and that's why we reached out to her.
She liked the show. Yeah, I don't remember the details of like. I remember that she said that she watched it, but where did we hear that? Yeah,
I did. I was asked to give her an award.
Okay. It was probably for you. Yeah.
American, it was like one of these big music Billboard awards maybe in Vegas, and they had asked me because they said she loved New Girl, and so maybe I kind of gave that info to casting.
I remember being at a party, one of those fancy, I don't know, Emmy or something parties, Liz. And you were there.
Were you invited to that party, or did you?
No, I was working. I was catering.
He was working. He was a little side job.
I was catering the party. And I remember speaking with Taye Diggs at the party,
and
him telling me how much he wanted to be on the show, and you were there. And I said, "Well, Liz Merriweather is right over there." And then I just remember him being on the show. I don't remember if you guys spoke.
I don't remember.
What happened?
I feel like if you'd been like Liz Merriweather's right over there, I would have like hid behind a bush or something. Like, you'd have been like, "I don't know where she went." Like, she was right there. That's crazy. Oh yeah, I didn't remember that. I mean, the Taylor Swift thing was like, I was such a huge fan of hers. Like, obviously, because I think her music is on the show like multiple times, and but like, I remember like someone introduced me to her on set, and I just was like, "Hi," And then like kind of like walked away because I was like, I can't actually speak to you because
I was in charge. Somehow I became in charge of like handling people that were too famous for everyone else to handle. Like Prince, no one wanted to talk to him. And he was like sitting by himself and everyone's like, Zoe, go sit next to him. So I was like, okay, hey Prince, how you doing? You having fun? You want some snacks or something? Same with Taylor. Like everyone was too scared to talk to her. So I was like, all right. I sat with her while she got her makeup done. I'm pretty sure I like got her some snacks. She was so low maintenance and low key. She was like, and I remember like Georgie, our makeup artist, gave her like, she said, I liked this like lip gloss thing. And Georgie let her have it. And she was like, oh my God, thank you so much.
I've never had lip gloss before.
It was so sweet. You know, like, she's just a normal gal. But yeah, somehow, like, I ended up spending these long
hilarious.
Periods of time
Zoe,
with people
so
because everyone else was afraid of them.
I think like so that go. Is like, Zoe, I feel like that's technically like should have been my job, but I'm like too awkward. I'm too nervous and awkward to like do that. So thank God we had you.
So honestly, that was like my, when I was like a kid, I was like the friendly kid that would be like when there'd be a new kid in class, they'd be like, so we go sit next to them. So I'd always be like the person like, hi, welcome to our class. So maybe I was prepped for it, you know?
Yeah, Lamorne, we had a handler that was like, keep Lamorne away from Taylor Swift. No, I'm just joking.
That's what it felt like. I never met her. I think the schedule was actually changed. I was supposed to be working that day, and then all of a sudden that wasn't. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then the next day I come back into work, everyone was like, man, how crazy was Taylor Swift? Oh, man, that was wild. And I was like, a couple questions. One, who is that? And then two, did I miss her? At the time, I don't think I knew who she was.
It is like really wild. I mean, I know we should probably do another question, but it's wild like the like guest stars that became famous like after the show. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like Olivia Rodrigo. Like I was like, did you guys already talk about that? Like I was like, I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
You know, just like some of the people I was like.
Alexandra Daddario.
Tiffany Haddish.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Tiffany Haddish. Oh my God. And
wait,
Alexandra
was Tiffany
Daddario.
On the show? Wait, when yes. was she on the show? Did I work with her?
No, I think
no.
Just me,
no,
Damon,
I don't think
and
I worked
Max.
With her.
Me, Damon, and Max, I want to say.
Oh my God. That's
Randall?
Incredible.
Who's had that
Randall
like
Park?
One line?
Oh yeah, Randall
on
Park.
On the show. Yeah.
Quinta.
Yep, Quinta.
Yes.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. And,
yeah, Quinta Brunson.
Oh, Sarah Baker. Guys, Sarah Baker. She's so funny. She was on the Kominsky Method. She's like one of the leads on that show. She's really,
oh,
really
yes.
funny.
Oh,
she
yes.
played the person with the dog like in one of the final episodes.
Here's
she's
the
really
thing.
Funny.
I feel like everyone talks about, what was it, NCIS or whatever, and that shoots in, Law and Order, sorry, that shoots in New York. Everyone talks about Law and Order in New York and how it's like a rite of passage and every actor passes through it at some point. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the conversations I have around New Girl now. Which is yeah. that everybody was at some point on the show, or, and I'm sure, Liz, you hear this too, is that they were almost on the show. That's how people are like, oh my God, I loved you on New Girl. I was almost on that show. I was almost on that show.
Yeah.
Or we're like the Law and Order of LA.
Every black
everybody
actor that
tested
I know
for
thinks
it.
They were
everyone tested
it.
For it. Everyone guest starred or almost
everyone
guest starred.
They were like this close to playing Winston.
Everyone.
Right.
Every actor. Samuel Jackson. Motherfucker, I was this close.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot. I never told you Samuel Jackson. That's really, we tested him. We didn't offer. We tested him.
Beat him out.
Yeah, no, that it really was. I really feel like we got so lucky. We had so many amazing people. And like, the tone is weird. Like, it's not, I mean, I think it's less weird now, but I remember just being like, we need actors who can do a dramatic scene and then also like do the stupidest, silliest, goofiest thing that you can imagine like at the same time. And like mm-hmm. we managed to like find those people, which was like great. I mean, the funny thing was like also, you know, the network at that time was just so crazy about ratings, and like they were always like, big guest stars, because I guess Britney Spears had done an episode of How I Met Your Mother, and they kept using that as an example of like, it turned the show around, and suddenly everybody was watching it because Britney Spears was on it. And it was like, so we were like, that was, I think, part of the like get Taylor Swift kind of like thing. So, I mean, it was just, you know, and obviously that's not how TV works. And like, it's actually about like, fans loving the show and like loving the actual characters, but at the time it was like that was this big kind of edict from the network was like, get a big star to be on it, you know. It's just, I feel like it's such a like old idea of what television is, but anyway,
it makes for fun viewing.
I remember running into Rob Reiner like before. Oh, right. And I was like, and my mom went to college with him, and they did improv like troupe together. And he was like, oh, like he was aware of the show, and he was like, oh, they were asking me like if maybe I could come and direct some. And I was like, oh my God, like that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. But then when like it came up that we were looking for, you know, my dad, I just feel like, you know, the fact that he like just knew of the show and was like aware of it, I was, you know, it kind of maybe, you know, gave us a little bit of an edge to get a legend.
If we had, I think like, if he said that they approached me about directing it, he definitely passed, because we would have, because we definitely would have hired him to direct it.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah! I'm retired from life. You know that.
His business is failing. His house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced.
Bang!
Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Great question, by the way, Lauren. Thank you for that. All right, next up we have Paris.
Hello, Hannah, Lamorne, and Zoe. I hope y'all are doing good. My name is Paris, and I am from Texas. I have a fun question to ask all of you guys, but a little context. I found out recently that Jennifer Aniston ate the exact same salad for lunch on the set of Friends pretty much every single time she filmed an episode, which is just crazy because that is a lot of salads over the years. So I wanted to ask you guys, was there a favorite snack or a meal that you ate when you were filming New Girl? Did you always have the snack or meal on hand? Was it in your trailer? You know, give me little details. I would love to know. Thanks.
I just want to say this, just to jump right in. Okay, is I remember ordering lunch and then watching just bags of delicious food being delivered to Video Village. So, Liz, what were you eating?
What delicious food? Oh, yeah, the writers always had restaurants way better food. The writers had the best food.
Yeah, you guys had the best food.
What were you?
Break it down.
Which restaurants were you ordering from?
I don't even know how to answer this question. I think the better question is, what didn't I eat while I was working out here? Food was like my only like happy place.
It's just fair.
No. So yeah, when you're a writer on a TV show, the studio pays for your lunch. So like they're, you know, you order to like a local restaurant and they bring lunch to you. And so the writer who was on set would often like order lunch with the other writers as opposed to like eating the lunch on set. And I guess apparently that created just years of resentment from
the food that we got was way not, you guys always ordered from way better places than the like actors and crew were offered.
Yeah, I had a lot of IHOP orders.
Being like, you guys ordered from where? It was like some like very fancy. Yeah. We were right by Beverly Hills, so there was like a lot of very nice restaurants nearby. I feel like we were mainly like ordering like salads from the commissary.
My food came from Sixth Street downtown. No, all shit was coming.
No,
from
but there was a shift around season 3 or 4. I think all of a sudden the menus got circulated to us, and that was a big day. And I will say, there was a lot of salads then. A lot of very delicious salads that started to turn up.
Yeah, but I feel like food just becomes like this comfort thing. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, it's definitely like been said before, but it's really exhausting making a network show. And the hours are very long. And like, at least, you know, as a showrunner, there really wasn't a moment when I wasn't supposed to be working or like supposed to be in some kind of meeting.
You
like
deserved it. You were sleeping on your couch in your office many nights. I don't think I've ever met a person that works harder than you, Liz.
True.
Yeah, I used to. but I guess like I do feel like the food kind of became this like I believe that about Jennifer Aniston. I don't know, like it just like the food kind of becomes your like connection to like some sort of home or like routine where you're like, oh, like it's like I don't know. That was my feeling, was like it was my one moment a day to like stop and actually like sit and eat and not work, which sounds so depressing. Sorry, but yeah, I definitely remember, you know, being really grateful to be able to like at least get some like good food in the middle of all the like stress and chaos. But it's so interesting like on set, because I think there's craft service, so you know, like I think everyone like has a favorite thing in from craft service that they go, you know, go to for those moments.
Yeah, what's everybody's favorite crafty snack?
Cashews.
Really?
And those little Snickers.
Salted?
I remember when you were getting shredded up for something, Lamorne, and then you realized that the like pounds of cashews you were eating were maybe not the healthiest. Yeah. Because you were like, I'm just going to eat all these nuts. And you're like, I'm eating 9,000 calories a day. I didn't realize the cashews were doing me like that.
Because here's what they don't tell you about cashews, okay? They're so tiny and they're so delicious, but they pack so much fat. You know what I mean? And you think, oh, I'm going to have a couple handfuls a day. That should do it. No, but if you're trying to reduce calories, your caloric intake, it's not happening. The cashews will fuck you up.
Abs are made in the kitchen.
Definitely do tell you that about cashews.
They do tell you. It's like one of the first things they say about cashews.
They've got a little chart.
It's in the marketing packet.
Yes, they're so tiny. They're so tiny, the cashews. They're like this. They're like this. You know what I mean?
They are tiny.
You think a handful, but there's so much fat in there.
You were so sad. You were like, these nuts have betrayed me.
Yeah.
What was your favorite snack, Hannah?
Ooh, I think initially, I remember rolling up to Crafty and I must have eaten 10,000 bags of Cheez-Its in that first year. But then it shifted into realizing that we could get apples and peanut butter. And then I realized that I'm just a little kid when I go to set. All I want is apples and peanut butter and Martinelli's apple juice.
Okay, I don't want the apple juice, but I would have a green apple with like
green
natural peanut butter. And
Granny
I like
Smith.
Like just a little bit of peanut butter and you like dip the apples in. And then, you know, it's like kind of filling and satisfying.
Yeah, here's what I discovered. Here's what I discovered
going,
later.
You know?
I discovered apples and cashew butter. Right?
You gotta let go of the damn nuts.
You're a cashew fiend.
Anybody knows me? You know I love nuts. If anybody who knows me, that's just been my thing. Stop it, Hannah.
It's your
Hannah,
thing.
Shut up.
I said nothing.
Hannah, shut up.
You said it all with your own mouth and face. You and those nuts. All right, Liz, what did you used to get?
I like how you're like cashew butter, like as if that changes the fact that they're like full of
butter for.
It's on an apple, right? It's on an apple, so I figured the acidicness of
it's healthy. It's healthy.
Chemical reaction happened in your belly to make it less fattening.
Well, I am not a smart man. I'm not. Never said I was.
Liz, what was yours when you would sneak over to Crafty?
I mean, I don't know. I like definitely feel like I just ate endless amounts of snacks, so I don't even remember. But I just remember like a lot of like coffee and like you know, just like pounding coffee and trying to stay awake. But
we're trying to get a Snickers sponsor. Just say Snickers.
Oh my god, I love Snickers. I do. I genuinely love Snickers.
I mean, who doesn't?
I like to dip some Snickers into some cashew butter. That's my way of losing. That's how I lose weight. It's just Snickers and cashew butter.
Thank you.
Secured that one. Secured the bag on that. Thank you very much, Liz.
Now Snickers is sponsoring us. I would say we all agree, right? We would all read ads for Snickers.
Ooh, yeah. I think we basically
that
just
would be
did.
Totally fine.
The cashew Snickers. That's
we didn't even get paid for that. And
I need to ask you, Liz, one question before we end this very detailed recap of our season finale. Who came up? You might not remember, but try. Who came up with this idea to put me on a rocket?
Oh,
with
God.
That man.
Oh my God. I mean, like, was that okay? I'm so sorry. I don't know. Like, I think like the reason that we really went for it was because we wanted Schmidt to be, we needed something that would really like make Schmidt feel insecure. So it was like, how do we kind of, you know, I don't know. A lot of those like jokes in the early seasons, I think they were like supposed to be making fun of you know, over sexualized ads, but then you're just like on a rocket, Hannah. So like
then I'm making an over sexualized scene on TV.
Yeah, so it's like I don't know if we like our post feminist take on that actually came through. But we needed to make Schmidt feel really insecure. So that was like, I don't remember. I don't think I came up with it, but I'm like passing the buck off to like somebody else. But, I mean, obviously it looks like a dick and I'm sorry about that.
You know what? I didn't even clock that in the rewatch. I just remember being like, what? Bizarre. There were so many bizarre photo shoots that Cece had to do, especially in those first couple years, that they were a wild experience to do. Let's just put it that way. I was like, wow, because you really have to do it. But the good thing was, because it could have gone another way of like trying to make Schmidt jealous, which would be to have
goggles.
Make hard body, like, do something or be weird. And that's where I would say it's so important to have women who create shows and run shows and be at the top, because I was never put in a position where it felt weird like that.
I love that you pivoted from you had to sit on a rocket to like, thank God we have women in positions.
I'm pivoting. I'm taking this couch and I'm getting it down the stairs, Liz.
Thank you for saying that. I'm like, I don't know if I would do that now, but thank you for saying that.
Yeah. I had a problem.
Lamorne had a big problem with it.
In a later season, we probably would have put Lamorne on the rocket.
Yes.
Definitely.
You did but have Lamorne say he has thick thighs and a fat ass, though, way out in the desert.
I made that up.
did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that made me laugh so hard.
I definitely don't think we would have put that in a script. Yeah.
That really made me laugh. And now that I know that it's you, it's going to make me laugh harder.
First thing was, no, he doesn't.
I do. I definitely do. That's something I've always known about myself. I got cakes.
I wanted to say that something that we like didn't talk about in the recap that I feel like I have to talk about is the like white fang that Schmidt.
Yes. Like, let's talk about white fang.
It was something that like came up in the writer's room, and it was just one of those things that like made us laugh like so hard. Like, I don't know. And then I was so worried that it wasn't going to translate on set. But then I mean, also it's like he's acting like you're a dog.
Go back to your farm.
Which Can I tell you something? A little bit like crazy, but then I'm like, I don't know. It was one of those things on set that just made me laugh. Like throughout the process, it made me laugh so hard. And I don't know if it translates like years later, but I
gave you the most anxiety on set? Like, because you were saying like you were worried it wasn't going to translate. Would you say that like that was like a consistent worry, or were there certain things that like gave you anxiety, over the course of the show?
I mean, as a showrunner, I was like, my job was often to like be the negative Nelly. Sometimes, you know, it was just like things in the writers' room where writers are suddenly like laughing so hard, and like I kind of have to be the one who's like, wait, is that like true to character? Is like true to story? Or like, is that something that like we think is really funny that is actually not funny? And I just like always had to kind of like make those calls, and like I, you know, was definitely wrong sometimes. Like, I don't know, but like it was one of those like just like, do people know what White Fang is? Like, what's like, you know, just like what is the sort of, you know, are they gonna get it? Like, is it too broad? This is like a really emotional moment for him. Is it too silly for that moment? You know, just those were the kind of things that I was like constantly like trying to, a lot of the times it was like, how can we make sure that the emotion lands, but then push it to a place of comedy, but not lose the emotion?
I think that was one thing magic superpower you have, like as a writer, is being able to have an emotional moment play that is very, you know, true and sincere. And then you'll like kind of undercut any if it was going to maybe be too sweet, you always just undercut it with like a little joke afterwards that makes it like that balances it out. Like there's always just a really great balance of the emotional and the humor in the show. And I definitely credit your sensibility. I think that's like something you do just incredibly well. And it takes so much skill to do that.
It does take a lot of skill. I'm very talented. No, thank you.
You are very talented.
I appreciate it. That's so sweet to hear, though. And we had such amazing writers, and obviously, like,
it's
you
true.
Guys were,
we
you,
did.
You guys were improvising, like, so much. In it. But I think, like, that particular moment, I had I just had that worry that I was like, this is too crazy. He's, like, saying he's calling after her like she's a dog, and like this is the love of his life, and like, is this too crazy? Like, Hannah, do you remember that? Like,
so here's my memory of it. So it was a long, dusty day in the desert, and I had a bit to do, but not a ton to do. And that White Fang go on get scene was the last thing that we shot, and it was just Max and I. So I think I honestly had gone back to my trailer, and we had to wait for nightfall. Then we did the coyote thing first. So I was just, and I wasn't in any of that. So I was sitting in the trailer for hours and hours and hours and hours. And I think Jake must have not been in something either. And so I remember going to sit in his trailer, and we were chatting, and he had a bottle of Southern Comfort.
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
And it was actually Johnny Walker Blue.
And I had a shot, I think, and we were just talking, and it was just so weird because it was that night it was going to be over, and it was like still felt like a total dream that I was somehow on this big American network TV show, and I was trying to think of this White Fang scene, which felt really silly and fun. But then he said something really casually, kind of like, well, you know, hope to see you in a few months and we get to do this again. And I went back to my trailer, and then I went, oh, my God, it just hit me for the first time. This might be it. This could get canceled and we never do it again. Like, I don't know. It happens all the time to really good shows and you just don't know. And they have to wait another hour or two and by myself. And then I came out and there was Max, who I think is such a phenomenal actor, and he just knows how to ride that line of being so real in his hurt, but also, and while he's saying silly stuff, but he can just do it. And it was so late, and I was so exhausted, and it was cold and out there, and I just kept thinking I could get this call saying that, you know, it's over and it's done, and I started to cry. And I remember shooting that scene, and it felt so real. Somebody just being like, it's over. Like, get out of here. We don't need you anymore. It's done. And that's how I truly, genuinely felt in it. When I watched it last night, like, it just reminded me of standing there really feeling like the depth of somebody ending something with you when you're not ready yet. And I don't know. It's funny that you have this anxiety of, like, was it going to land, and was it going to have the emotion behind it? And it was perfect.
I was going to say, watching it, I was so impressed by how silly the performance was of Max. And yet you managed to channel Denzel Washington from Glory with that one single tear. Two different circumstances for sure, but you know, we've all seen Glory. We know
it wasn't
what's going
an ugly cry.
Scene.
It was a very pretty cry. Pretty
a very
cry.
Face.
A Denzel
tear.
Pretty cry.
Yeah.
No, but
tear.
I mean, Hannah, like, Lamorne is a Josh in you, but I really, I think, unless you were thinking about Denzel Washington,
I
think about Denzel Washington in Glory, and I cry all the time.
That is a iconic moment when Denzel's just standing there and he has one tear right in that moment, and Hannah does it and the music timed perfectly, and then she walks up. I said, I could never get one.
I was gonna say like, I think Hannah, you in that scene were the reason that like it could work, you know what I mean? Because it was like you gave this you know, it's less obviously like less flashy than like Max like screaming "Git" and stuff. But like the you're grounding, and you did that so many times on the show. But like your grounding kind of like emotional presence allowed him to kind of like be silly in this way that like kept the tone going and kept it real. And I really felt that was such a beautiful performance in that moment. And like, obviously it's like I said, it's not the actor who gets to kind of like do the silliest thing, but it's like it's the balance that makes the comedy work, you know? So I don't know. That was a great moment.
Yeah. I loved it. And it's where I found like a real rhythm, I feel like, with Max too, right? To kind of like, you could just like sit in it with him. And it set us up for the fact that we did get to come back again and again and again and again. This has been really fun recapping this episode. Maybe when we finish season two, Liz, we're going to bug you again.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. We would take you out for ice cream, Liz. We would this time we'd owe you a real nice soft serve.
A real treat. Really quick, did you find a bear, Hannah? And Liz,
oh yes, I have to ask you, Liz. Oh my gosh, I have to ask you. So every single episode, I've been doing Where's the Bear?
Where's the bear?
There is this big rumor going around. I know you know. Saying that there is a bear intentionally put somehow in every single episode, and there are websites dedicated to it and Reddit threads. And I have hunted it. I will say about like what, 65% of the time, there is some sneaky ass bear there. So you have to now address this here on the spot. Tell me, am I on a fool's errand? What's up with the bear?
I mean, look, it's never a fool's errand to look for a bear in every episode.
You're going to keep me hunting.
Of this show. Yeah, no, I definitely wasn't intentional. I do think that bears are like very funny. I think it's a very funny word. And I think it like, I just remember in the pilot, Damon being like, bears. And like that, just remember like that was like a really funny moment in the pilot. I hate to disappoint you. It definitely wasn't intentional, but I think that like subconsciously, ooh, there are probably like a million bears in the show because like, when you think something's funny or like a funny word, I think you just keep going for it. I always thought pants was a funny word. So I feel like there's like a lot of like pants. Like,
well, don't do that. Now season two, I got to look for bears and pants. You got to do that right now?
All the time.
You could just switch. Change the course
season
now.
Season two is hunting for pants. Hunting for pants.
I'm going to say confidently there are pants in every episode. <That's
true. laughs> I can't believe we never put Lamorne in like bear pants.
Yeah.
Well, if you would have had me with no pants, you would have seen how hairy I am. And then it would have looked like bear pants for sure. I do not shave. Liz, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Please come back. Please play True American with us next time.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Will you come back
for doing this? Yes, of course. And thank you for doing this. And like also thank you for you know, obviously all the work you guys did on this show, because it's the reason that anyone is still interested in it is because of you guys. And I just like thank you so much for
and you
for everything.
Liz, we love you. We
love bears.
Bears.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zoe Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zoe Deschanel, performed and produced by Zoe Deschanel and Pierre DeReeder. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at welcometoourshowpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
Welcome to our show. Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.